flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have some Braves news, and we want to get our Grant McCauley on, our buddy who covers the Braves for us, Braves insider, about this news, because we've been waiting for some signings and some things to happen with this Braves team. And so, Grant, as you jump on with this, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes, tell us about this signing with Profar. What's it mean for the Braves, the outfield, and do you like the signing? Let's start there.
Yeah, absolutely. I do like the signing, and I feel like it checks a lot of boxes for the Braves, and I didn't think that we'd be sitting around waiting till, you know, less than 3 weeks for spring training to start, and the Braves hadn't really done anything to address their needs. So this was a big one. There's no two ways about that. It's a multi-year deal, so somebody that can fit in the Braves outfield for a while, give you some stability, and hopefully coming off a career year can give you the kind of offense that you put up a season ago and be part of a Braves ensemble in that offense that does a lot of things that just flat out didn't happen in 2024. So you get some offensive upside, an all-star left fielder, which you can put with your up-and-coming future superstar center fielder, who's certainly shown himself to be quite the player. And by the way, you get the National League's MVP from 2023 back before too long in the season, it sounds like. That's going to be a pretty nice outfield, and it could be a pretty nice outfield for a minute. And even if you're not starting Jared Kelnick, you can do a lot worse for fourth outfielders who can play all three spots. So as I said on formerly known as Twitter, now I guess called X, this is a pretty good quartet for the Braves. I do think it's a good fit. And from a money standpoint, I think this maybe underscores the waiting is very difficult, but when you find the right deal, it's worth it.
It's our man, Grant McCauley, with us on the WaitForIt.com hotline as we hear about the deal. The deal, if he rakes, is a steal. But I was just debating with Carl during the commercial break. He's a career 245 hitter. He's bounced around. Obviously, he had traction last year, surrounded by a great lineup in San Diego. Do you see him having success here in Atlanta like that?
I do, because of the outfield, or excuse me, not the outfield, but the lineup that he's going to be a part of. I mean, yeah, we just talked about three potent bats in the outfield, with Profar being one of them, but then you throw in, you've got a DH in Marcell Ozuna, who's going to be a powerful bat that could protect Profar in that lineup. You've got Austin Riley, you've got Matt Olson, you've got Ozzie Albies, you've got Sean Murphy, who could certainly use a bounce-back year. At this point, I think that you start to look at all of that and say, this is a talented group that was missing some pieces, and Profar could be that missing piece. So, yeah, I do really like the fit, and I do feel like he is capable and talented enough to do the kinds of things he did last year. I mean, we talk about waiting. Jerickson Profar in 2011-2012 was the number one prospect in baseball, hands down, with the Texas Rangers. It just didn't work out there. It took a long time for him to really stick and stay in the majors. So what he's been able to do is he's gotten into his late 20s, early 30s. I feel like he's capable of replicating that. And again, you're not asking him to come in and carry the whole load for the Braves. They've got a very good lineup all around. And to throw out one more thing, when a guy like Michael Conforto is getting $17-plus million a year from a team like the Dodgers that doesn't mind spending, I still like the value that you're getting here, even if he gave multiple years to Profar, because I think he could fit for a while.
From Curacao, like Andrew Jones, not to be a Weisenheimer, Grant, why didn't he get signed sooner?
I don't know. That, I think, is probably part of the market and just the way that teams are maybe prioritizing players. And when you're looking for multi-year deals, sometimes it takes a while to wait to find the right one. Other times, certain areas of need, like typically starting pitching, you'll start to see some big multi-year deals like that go out pretty quick. But with outfielders, it always seems like, whether it is a Michael Conforto or a Jock Peterson or some of these other guys that are willing to sign 1- and 2-year deals or 1-year deals with an option, that sometimes clubs are just happy to go ahead and plug that hole temporarily and maybe wait and see. And I think Profar was probably one of those players that, to your point, I mean, he's not a year-over-year superstar, a very nice player, but maybe some teams were looking at it and say, okay, maybe I need to see it for one more year to really trust it. But I think that there are a lot of clubs out there that at this price would be very happy to have Jurickson Profar. The Braves just happen to be the team that got the deal done.
The financials, talk about that a little bit. You know, the Braves never really locked themselves into a long financial deal. It is rare. I mean, the Austin Riley deal, highest paid guy, you know, $200 million. But this is substantial, I think more substantial than we thought it would be. How does it break down, Grant?
Yeah, because it's the free agent side of things, right? I mean, the Braves are not known for going out and signing players outside of the organization. They're known for extending the homegrown talent they've got in it. The only real exception I can say that got a bigger deal beyond this was you signed Marcell Ozuna for 1 year in 2020, then you re-upped him for his multi-year contract that he's still on, obviously, at this point. That's pretty much the most money, the biggest and most notable money the Braves have spent in free agency slash an extension for a player who did not grow up in the Braves organization. So that is, I don't know that it necessarily is a sign of many things to come with that, but I think that in some cases and in some places here at this point where the Braves are as they're currently assembled, they needed to start looking outside the organization and signing a free agent to fill some of these voids. And this was the kind of move that I think many people have been waiting to see. Will they pay a free agent? They've gotten a lot done in trades. There's no two ways about that. They've grown some incredible superstars that are all under contract, but I think, and I don't know if this answers the question, this was one of the ways we just kind of wondered if they were going to fill a need, and they've shown that they will.
Jurickson Profar, guys, had a great year with San Diego. Signs a 3-year, $42 million deal with the Braves to plug in, presumably in left field. And eventually, Ronald Acuña comes back to right. In the meantime, you'll get a chance to start until Ronald's 100%. So Grant's on the phone to talk about it. What about the bullpen? We had Pierce Johnson on yesterday. I was joking around with him. I said, sounds to me like Uncle Jesse will come back for like pennies on the dollar. Where are we going to find some help for this pen?
Yeah, I feel like the bullpen, and Alex Anthopoulos is going to speak to the media in a couple of hours, and this is something that I will certainly ask about if somebody doesn't get to it first, but where are these other needs for the Braves? And really, I'm kind of curious, and I know you guys have talked to Alex this winter as well, you know, is this a year in which maybe the needs are, and the pursuit of those needs, are a little bit more amped up than they've been in years past, especially with the time that you've waited and needing to get it done really before opening day? I mean, we can look at spring training all we want, but as long as you got that roster put together before you have to go and play actual games that matter, I think you kind of give yourself that latitude. But the bullpen is one of those areas where I think you can throw some quantity and quality at that. And they've got some guys that obviously Raisel Iglesias is the one that you're going to turn to in the ninth inning. Pierce Johnson is a capable setup man, but losing A.J. Minter, losing Joe Jimenez for the season quite possibly with that knee injury that he was dealing with that apparently was worse than anybody knew last year when he went to get it fixed afterwards, those are two big losses. But I do see a lot of upside in Dylan Lee, who was a great left-hander for the Braves last year, and you've got Aaron Bummer, who can kind of, I think, slot in as that secondary lefty if I'm the one who's lining those up. And I think a name that's getting forgotten right now is Daisbell Hernandez, who's somebody the Braves have really seen a lot in the last couple of years. High-octane arm. Really, I just think needs the opportunity to prove himself. He's done everything he can with the chances that he's gotten thus far, but that could be another answer internally. But I would not be surprised to see one, two, maybe more veteran bullpen guys who are looking for someplace to pitch that haven't gotten a contract by the time spring training gets rolling that could find themselves in a Braves uniform sometime in the month of February, month of March.
Where do you hit him in the lineup, Grant?
That's an interesting question because I guess we've got the pre-Ronald Acuña Jr. lineup and the post-Ronald Acuña Jr. lineup. True, I would lead off with Michael Harris, that's for sure. I think Profar, honestly, could hit second. He could hit in the middle of the lineup. He could hit a little bit lower if you wanted him to. I think he'd be a nice second-place hitter in the order. Then you've got Austin Riley, you've got Matt Olson, you've got Marcell Ozuna. We all know the rest of that lineup. But when Ronald comes back, that will be the interesting thing because I was kind of looking at this last year. I think we were having this conversation probably about a year ago. Is Michael Harris eventually going to get installed in that number two spot of the order? Because that's where I think he belongs and where he profiles long-term. So the signing of Profar shouldn't really change all of that. But it's fascinating when you can finally start talking about having all the pieces on the board and being able to deploy a lineup that's, you know, a lot more like what you imagined and not quite the scotch tape version that the Braves had last year, trying to get nine guys out on the field and put together a competitive lineup and some competitive at-bats. This is a nice signing from a depth perspective. It just makes the Braves better.
Do we know anything? I know we joked around a few weeks ago about Acuna video of him viral hitting batting practice down in the Dominican, somewhere in the Caribbean, as Bob Feller would say. But what are expectations, just because we got John now talking about Braves moving with Jurickson Profar, about both the timeline for Acuna, and is that something Alex will address, or Alex is going to keep it vague about him and Strider?
I'm sure he's going to get asked about it again. I don't think that the timeline is really going to have come into focus because, again, they haven't gotten to spring training. They haven't really gotten to put him through the paces and see where he is and obviously give him the opportunity to play some games down there. But if I had to guess, based on the indications we've gotten from talking to Alex and just the level to which Ronald Acuna Jr. is expected to be back, I would expect him to return sometime, maybe in the middle of May. If he gets back any sooner, that's great, but that's kind of where I would eyeball the return of Ronald Acuna Jr. So 5-6 weeks, you know, with an outfield that doesn't include him, a lineup that doesn't include him, but the sooner you get him back, the better, but they're not going to rush it.
We hadn't had a chance to talk to you in a minute, Grant. What the Dodgers are doing, it's just, it feels almost criminal. I mean, look, I get to the victor goes the spoils. They got TV money. They got everything going their way. And I know that, you know, Bob Costas, we've debated it over the years. Would they ever come up with a salary cap? This union's just too strong for that. But I know we have this luxury tax, but it seems like it's a speed bump to L.A.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head about the union and the role that it plays on salary caps and that kind of stuff. And there's going to be a collective bargaining agreement here in the next, what, couple of years, that may be the biggest and most contentious in the history of the sport, to where people are already talking about, would you sacrifice a season if you got a salary cap? I mean, we don't have enough time on this call for me to address that other than to say sacrificing a season is, to me, not a route anybody wants to take. It's not in the best interest of the sport. But to make a very long story short, I think some of the discrepancy can't, or the blame for what we're seeing can't just go on L.A. for being the team willing to spend. Some of this has to be pointed out that the Marlins, the Athletics, and other clubs are not, and Pirates, are not taking the $70 million a year they're getting to help make them more competitive and pouring it into on-the-field talent. They're just using it to turn a profit as a good business model. And unless or until you can find a way, I think, to police that a little bit better, or to, you know, make these other owners spend more, which they should. They're all capable of doing it. L.A., as I've said, is operating on a level that nobody has ever before. Who knows what this deferred money is going to do to them ultimately? Maybe they just absorb it as the cost of doing business. Not everybody's comfortable with doing that. But there are a lot of teams with a lot of payrolls that are much lower than they could be if those owners actually wanted to go out there and get competitive and play in that space. But I think there's just a lot of reasons they've talked themselves out of it over the years, and that's the problem that baseball's facing.
Great stuff, Grant. Appreciate you jumping on, man. Breaking news for the Braves today as they signed outfielder Jurickson Profar. And he is a guy that comes over from San Diego, had a great year last year, for those who are not familiar with him. I like the signing. I think it gives us some versatility and some pop. I'm curious. This may be, again, guys, we may be talking about this, Grant, as one of those sneaky double-A moves where you go, oh, what's he going to do? And he comes in and produces, you know?
Right.
Yep. It definitely could be. I mean, stranger things have happened, most certainly. But a little bit of work left to do, and we'll see what Alex Anthopoulos has up his sleeve as the Braves report to spring training and have their first workout on February the 12th. That's right around the corner.
Wow. Good stuff. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon. Thank you again.
Thanks, guys.